Mom, Dad, I just have to say, it breaks my heart watching you stress over dinner every night. This year, I don't want you doing the fridge stare down. Hot take, with the new Blue Apron, eating healthy is easy. They've got pre-made and one-pan meals with plenty of balanced nutrition. No subscription needed. You could be plating like a chef instead of negotiating with leftovers. Make it your healthy, tasty, and easy 2026 dinner resolution. Just saying.
Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop, we've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
This is the Best of Interviews on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
So it's 3:30, time for Flyers and 50 with Broads. Broads, are you a 90s man?
Sure. Yeah, I'm a 90s man.
Oh, he just wants to get into the hockey.
He's locked in. So fired up,
he's got his Karate Kid headband on.
Oh, my God, last night was sick. Last night was so sick. I've watched the game in its entirety twice. Well, three, really. I was there. Goosebumps. Then I went home. I watched the whole thing on my love sack. You know that picture of Devontae Smith on the couch?
You say a love sack?
You have a love sack?
I got a love sack.
How much money are you making? Those things are expensive.
Listen, it's from Raymore and Flanagan. I'm paying it off monthly, and
okay,
it is definitely
right.
biting my ass.
Okay,
every
right.
single first of the month, I'm like, is that couch worth it?
Yeah, okay.
Is that couch worth it?
Yeah, no joke, dude.
All right. Just making sure.
But anyway, I watched the game a second time on that couch, and then this morning with a cup of coffee.
So I know if you're not watching on YouTube, you don't see Broads has the jersey on, also has the shoulder pads on, got the gloves, got the stick. Oh, you got the pants on? You
got the
shorts?
Pants. Oh, I got the pants.
All right, hit it, Jack.
Flyers in 50 with Broads.
That was a hockey game, ladies and gentlemen. Last night was a hockey game. Cutter Gauthier, what a clown. I mean, an absolute scum. A big pile of you know what. He touches the puck, the whole place. Boo! Boo! It was so amazing. And then Zegras comes in and has two clap daddies from the same spot right by the goal line. My God, was that filthy. Sick pass by Dvorak. Sick pass by Cam York. What a silky dish. Let me tell you something. Zegras is a player. All right, iconic moment last night with the celebrations, picking up the phone, hanging it up. Because the last time the Ducks gave him a ring, he said, go get shipped to Philadelphia. Oh, yeah, they'll get shipped to Philadelphia. Yeah, you want to get shipped to Philadelphia? You want to get shipped to Philly? Damn it! My guy is popping off on a 40-goal rate right now. It's incredible. Dvorak, I'm not even mad about his contract. Let me tell you something. Hathaway last night throwing the bodies. He decapitated two humans. He literally took their heads off twice. He dropped the mitts and said, let's go. Let's go. With Radko Gudas, he started throwing uppercuts. last night was incredible. That was hockey. That was hockey. Let's go Flyers. Woo.
You are fired up,
dude,
man.
Last night.
Oh, my goodness.
Flyers Ducks, January 6th.
Amazing. Yeah.
Was that the arrival of the 2025-26 Flyers last night?
I can't even.
It's not like Ruben Frank.
Woo! Yeah. Hey. Ashley, what are you doing? You got to play a little bit tougher than that.
No, Ashley. No. So Ashley, it's part of the show.
Anyway.
Yeah.
That was fun last night, boys. Be honest. I knew Jack wasn't watching because he didn't text me. So I was pissed on that.
Yeah.
Spike, Ike, come on. Tell me last night was the night you said, let me throw Broads a bone and let's tune in. Any bone throwing?
No.
Come on, you guys are
sick. Matter of fact, that's why I wasn't watching.
Oh, hey!
Wow! Blue Chew, how's it going? Wow.
Well,
what do you think of the D?
Is the perspective now this team can do something this year? Are you like it feels like it's evolving into not just young team. That here's the thing, is like you never know when the young evolving team is going to actually be good.
Yeah.
Right? You think it's always next year. You want to look for a little bit of growth, but it doesn't usually happen that way. There's usually a bigger jump one of the years than you expect. It just feels like the Flyers are putting themselves in a position where you can start to expect something this year.
Yeah, absolutely. So here's where I struggle. I've been very optimistic with just enjoying this because, let's be honest,
it doesn't stay that way.
We haven't had hockey in so long. But then he signed. Could you imagine this Dvorak contract,
yeah,
by the
5-year contract.
Imagine if you woke up one day and a Dory Jackson got a 5-year contract extension. What would you say the next day?
We would lead the show with it, I guarantee.
You'd be saying, what the hell is Howie thinking? Why would you sign that guy to a 5-year extension and asking him to play DB opposite of Quinn? That's what Dvorak at 30 to 35-year-old journeyman got. You don't need to sign him for 5 years with no movement trades and all this. So, like, the reason I get upset with that stuff is there's a worry of what's happening with these salary cap numbers, what's happening with these contracts, some of the draft picks are a little blah, but the right now is great. And Danny Briere did a lot to get Zegras. He did a lot to get Drysdale in a terrible situation with Cutter Gauthier. So he did so many good things, but he's not good with the contracts, and he's not good with some of these draft picks. So I'm very conflicted on how to feel, but the right now is fun and beautiful, so I'm very emotionally conflicted.
I understand that conflict. Well, okay, if I were to tell you...
If you were a bit, were you being sarcastic?
No, I was being serious.
Sixers,
no, the Sixers the same way, right? Yeah. Is like when you go back to the first year that Ben was here and the Sixers got good and you thought to yourself, oh, this is no longer, like I'm no longer thinking about the future, but I also know that Brian Colangelo is the friggin' GM and I also know we just gave J.J. Redick $30 million for 1 year and Amir Johnson $24 million for 2 years.
Like I
can go back to podcast arguments where I told Mike, I'm like, this is exciting, but we're doing a lot of things that it might cost us in the future.
Yeah.
And it's hard to balance both things when the team starts to get actually good. But those things that could handicap you in the future, they are real things.
Right.
You know? So, okay, if I were to ask you to make the case, I'd say, Broads, you're going to get the afternoon show if you make the case that that Chris, you're not really.
Yeah, no.
But is
if, hold on.
If Christian, you have to give me like make sense of the Dvorak contract extension.
I can't, so I won't get this job, unfortunately. But okay.
What would the argument be?
The argument is they're so thin at center that they just don't have anybody. So over the next few years, while they have these prospects like Jet Luchenko and this Berglund kid who played in Sweden in the World Juniors who won the gold medal and led the Swedes, Porter Marton.
Yeah.
He's a winger, so we don't got to worry about that. We're good on the wing.
Okay.
But for the center depth, they just don't have any center depth, so they're going to use him as a stopgap. But my problem is, if you need to sign him to be your stopgap for 5 years up the middle because you're that thin, we got a problem. We better be getting centers in here way sooner than in 5 years.
And is that just like a cap thing where they want to give them more so they can give them less money? I don't know.
They gave them more years to make the cap hit. I think Flyers fans would have felt better if you extended him for 2 or 3 years.
Right.
And then the cap hit was somewhere along $6 million-ish instead of adding years and bringing it down to 5.
Yeah.
And that's where it ticks people. He's a good player. It's just... He's kind of averagey, and it's almost typical Flyers fandom where you get stuck in mediocre hockey because they love the guys that bring the toughness in the corners and the grit and the crap like that, and he just kind of defines that. But this team's playing well. I don't like that I'm here right now because I came in with the stick going ready for some cross checks, and now here I am talking negative about the squad.
Well, let me ask you this. So we heard a clip from you on the air while you were filling in for
us. Yeah.
And it sounded like, now, look, some could accuse us.
Oh, no.
Specifically me, because I usually get the brunt of it, even though we're all in on it. You know, some could accuse us of cornering you on your Philly Business Journal interview, where you said you wanted to be the afternoon show host from WIP, even though it's my job. But we heard a clip from when you were hosting of you sort of cornering yourself. Jack, why don't you play it here?
You don't want to have goals?
Gotta have goals. Now... I wasn't thinking in particular of that, meaning I'm gunning for other humans here.
Fair point. Maybe
that's a, you know what? Maybe that's sort of like being in the locker room and, you know, microphones in your face after a game and they start saying things, right? And the media is in your face and then you say something and you don't realize when you go back to social media, everybody took it the wrong way and went, damn, that is not my intention. Uh-huh. That is not what I meant.
Yep.
You know, maybe that was a learning experience for me.
You weren't thinking about kicking Spike out of the seat.
No, I love Spike.
You want to take over when
when it's necessary.
When he takes a step back.
Whenever life happens.
Yes.
And things happen.
Yes.
He's going to have a retirement tour where he puts in 50 years of greatness.
Right.
He'll be 100, and he'll be like, you know what?
This is the corner.
Thank you, everybody.
Yeah.
And then, like, that moment, and maybe. Manager, maybe.
When his jersey.
If that's my time.
When his jersey goes into the rafters.
Uh-huh.
That's your time.
Maybe.
That's what you're thinking.
But, because I don't want to get in trouble here either. If it's someone else's time. Then I respect whose time it is. Maybe it's not my time then. Maybe it's someone else's time. Someone here is waiting for that chair too. Maybe it's their time. That's all. Just God forbid this backfires this guy. That's 215-592-949. I'm sweating. I'm cornered and they're not even here. I'm somehow cornered again and I'm alone.
So
that was actually pretty good.
You know, Deep Voice Luke did not do you any favors.
Of course
in
not.
That
not
one.
At all.
No.
Nobody does.
He just kept agreeing with you and putting you even more in the spot.
Yep.
So you're waiting on my retirement.
Well, yeah, listen.
You know, I'm only 49.
That's 50 years. You're going to go until 90. I'm going to be sitting here watching Jalen go through his whole career, 7 Super Bowls, a few MVPs.
Yeah.
And you're still going to be kicking it. And we're going to look back one day when you're 99 on your final day when you're passing the torch to me or anybody else who happens to be ready for the job.
Yep.
And we're going to say, man, remember those times you used to argue about Jalen? What a stupid take by you. That's what we're going to do.
Well,
that's what we're going to do.
I'll tell you this.
What's that?
If I make it to 99 doing this job, I'm dying in the studio.
God bless. Yeah.
If I've gone that far, there will be no retirement tour because there is nothing left.
Well,
right?
Listen, don't I get I put you on the wall.
Yeah.
I'm right next to Angelo Gattardi right there. Spike asking a hell of a run. It says right underneath hell of a run.
Does it go in as PD or host?
A combination of everything. I think it's just your entire beautiful, outstanding work ethic.
Well, if I'm 99, that would mean Ike's already on the wall.
And long gone.
Well, why can't you guys could be both together at 99?
Yeah, Ike ain't going to be hosting 99.
No, you can guarantee that's not happening.
If I'm 99, he's 102. Or 101.
Yep.
The people need you. Yeah. The people need you.
Oh, imagine? We're still doing the show at 100.
Imagine that.
Yeah. Dude, his kids
Prince
will be
still back there.
His kids will be 50.
Yeah.
Listening to the show.
Flyers at 50 with Walk.
Yeah, Walk, Sonny. Yeah. People still be bringing up Rondé Barber to Ike.
Yeah.
100.
We have moved past Ryan.
Water under the bridge.
Yeah, water under the bridge. All right. Well, great job, Broads. I'm happy to see you happy.
Well, and Broads, to his credit, I got a lot of reports defended us, me and Spike specifically, on Jalen Hurts Appreciation Day.
Yeah, I have a rule. I have a rule when I'm on. It's, you know, listen, I die for my guys. I'm an Embiid guy. I die for him. Yep. You know what I'm saying? I'm a Hurts guy. I die for him. You guys are my guys.
Okay.
So, like, when I'm filling in, you Spike and Jay. I don't do that.
Okay.
I don't do that. You guys are my guys. Now, the way I labeled it was sort of like, and this is going to come off wrong, and you guys, it's going to backfire.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to say it anyway.
Seems to do this.
Yeah, it's what I do. So, why not? Let's just dig into it. It's like when you're the big brother, right? And, someone else picks on the little brother.
Sure.
They're like, listen, you can't pick on him. I could pick on him. You can't pick on him. Well, that's kind of how it was when I was in the chair. It's like you guys were my little brothers. And I'm saying, listen, you guys can't. See how this backfired?
I do see how it backfired.
But that's why I said it. All right? But anyway, that's sort of
I'm
the
little brother?
Your little brother. Jack, little brother. You got my little brother. Listen, hey.
You know, I've been voted number one program director in America twice.
There you go.
Yeah, all right. I just want to throw that out there.
Where's Lakin?
I never did an article. I didn't do an article saying I wanted to be the program director.
No, you didn't.
Lakin would have fired you.
Fair enough. Yeah.
You think?
Yeah. Well, wouldn't have lasted. Wouldn't have been good for you.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have been quite as funny as this is.
Yes.
Yeah.
All jokes aside, I do love you guys.
We love you too.
I always got your back. I don't do that. You know when to call them. You want to rip them for their Jalen? Stop it.
Get
out of my face. I'm not taking phone calls from 2 to 6 on how stupid Jack and Spike
are. All right.
I get it. You guys think they're stupid.
All right.
But
all
I'm not going to sit there and
cut his mic
let
off.
You say
cut
that
his mic
they're
off.
Dumb.
All
like,
right.
That's not what I'm going to do.
Getting a little too chesty.
Love you guys.
All right.
Love you guys.
When are you back on IP?
Tonight at 11.
All right. There you go.
Wow.
There he is.
Sounds like a news tease.
Yeah. And if you guys want to call in about Ike.
All right. There he is. Bros.
The one and only Bros.
There he is.
I forgot we had ESPN tonight.
Oh, I forgot about ESPN.
Oh,
yeah. Do you know who the guest is?
I don't. Let me text them.
Is he ever going to have James in as a guest?
I
think Seltzer wants to do 2 shows.
He's got his bedtime. 8's pretty late. Now, DeCamera did say he's been going to bed at 3 a.m. the last, week.
Oh, because, when he's been off.
No, heading into the show. He'd be going to bed, 2, 3 in the morning, and then getting up an hour later and coming to do the show.
Why?
That makes no sense.
It sounds insane.
Why?
And unbelievably unhealthy. I have no idea. I think it used to be he was writing the book, but he doesn't have to worry about the book anymore.
He would go to bed at 2 in the morning and then get up at 4?
I believe this week, he said on the air, I went to bed at 2 a.m. last night.
Well, he is one of those guys. I remember when he was doing middays that he would be up all hours of the night. He is a stay up late guy. Oh, I'll tell you what he was doing.
He was whacking that thing.
There you go. Joining us now, as he does.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first 2 orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Every Thursday at 3 o'clock is the great Shil Kapadia of The Ringer. What's up, Shil?
What's up, my friends? How we doing?
It's been such a long time since we've seen you. You lost all your hair. I mean, it's been...
Yeah, you know, it has been. I actually haven't given it a clean shave in a while, so I got the hat on because, you know, as Ike knows, I see his is looking good, but mine isn't that clean right now.
So, Shil, if I were to ask you on Sunday, from an Eagles perspective, of course, what you'd worry more about from an Eagles perspective, the Eagles sort of losing the game themselves or the 49ers coming in there and beating them, if that makes sense to you, what would you say?
I would say the Eagles beating themselves. I mean, I was just looking at the rosters and the personnel earlier today, and I think you can make the case that the Eagles are better in like 20 of 22 starting spots, something like that, as good as or better in a lot of those. And we could debate some of them, but there is just really a talent advantage for the Eagles, given how healthy they are, given how rested they are, given how the rosters are constructed, where I think the way the Eagles lose this game is if the offense is a no-show, if you screw up on special teams, if you do those types of things, because I do think they have an advantage from a talent perspective.
Given all of that, like, why isn't the, I hate to ask you a betting question, but why isn't the line higher? I guess I just look at it thinking, when I think of all that talent, I think of a 6-point line. I don't think of, you know, opening up at 3.5. Like, what is it? Is it just the Eagles offense? Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think one is that it is the playoffs. I think every line is, except for that Panthers-Rams game, every line is, you know, I think this is the second biggest line of any of the matchups. So in the first round, maybe you don't see a bunch of those big lines. I think the Eagles offense is not trustworthy. We know that. You know, I can say they've got a talent advantage, but we've talked about the ups and downs all season long. And then you look at that 49ers offense where they've still been able to do it most weeks. They didn't do it that big game against the Seahawks at the end of the season. But prior to that, their offense was really humming. So I think all those things kind of combined are the reason where maybe that line isn't as big as you might think.
We haven't talked to you since. Did you think it was a mistake of the Eagles not to go for the win on Sunday and try to get that 2 seed?
Yeah, I always believe in going for the higher seeding because you never know what's going to happen on your way to the playoffs, and I think there's a big advantage to playing at home. Now, once the players started talking more about it and just thinking about how Landon Dickerson and Cam Jurgens have looked on film at the end of the season, I think the team has more information than I do about those injuries. And if they feel like, hey, this offensive line specifically can get healthier with a week off, I understood the decision. So I thought it was a hard decision is what I would say. I would have played the starters, but I understood where they were coming from.
That being said, Shil, it certainly puts a lot more pressure on them to go out and actually perform, because you took the week off. You as of right now, sacrifice the number 2 seed for rest. That rest is going to have to pay off. So when you look at that Sunday, what unit do you think? Or let me just put it this way. I look at the offensive line. I think they're the most important one coming into this game. The running game has to get going. What do you think that we're going to see and what we need to see Sunday from this Eagles team to sort of feel confident about them, not only just winning this game, but moving forward?
I think the dream scenario, if you're an Eagles fan, if you want to let your mind wander to what the next 3 to 4 weeks could be, is that this offensive line can sort of find another gear in the playoffs, and that you can talk yourself into, these guys were playing through so many injuries this season and they didn't look like themselves. But you know what? That extra week off, just it's getting a bye week. Now they're going to come back in the playoffs and they're going to face a 49ers front that is not very good, that is injured. They are potentially going to face a Bears front in the divisional round that is not great, and that we can actually get to a point where a couple weeks from now we're saying, wow, they actually did run the football pretty well against the Niners and maybe the Bears. And wow, the offensive line was blowing those defenders off the ball. We hadn't seen it a lot throughout the season, but man, that extra week off helped them. The matchups helped them, and now they're in position to actually make a Super Bowl run. So yeah, I'm with you. The O-line, just one way or another, it feels like it's going to determine how far this team goes.
You probably know, you're probably more familiar with San Francisco than a lot of us are as far as Kyle Shanahan and their style of play and what he's capable of doing. And a coach like him always concerns me because these are the types of games that he sort of has made his name and reputation off of, is winning the games that you don't expect him to win because of his play design, his scheme, and what he's trying to do going into a game. So that being said, where is the area that we as Eagles fans should pay attention to or be concerned with that Kyle Shanahan could be trying to exploit for their benefit?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those tough ones because you look at it on paper and you look at the Eagles defense and you look at that second cornerback spot and you say that is the position to exploit if you're an opposing offense. But the way the 49ers are built, they're not like the Cowboys where they got two great wide receivers and just attack them on the outside. So they just do a lot of things that create uncertainty. They use a lot of motion. They use a lot of shifts. They use a lot of personnel groupings. I think that's probably the big one. You know, they play with a fullback on, I think, 40-45% of their snaps. And so when you're a defense, you have to go in and say, all right, are we going to play bigger on defense? And then if you do that, usually what they say is, okay, play action. We're going to now throw the ball because you're bigger on defense. And then if you say, no, we don't need to do that, we'll just stick with our nickel on defense, then they try to run the football on you. And they do that probably better than any offense in the NFL. Now, they haven't been the best rushing team in the NFL this year. They've kind of been up and down statistically. They've been mediocre, but that's something to keep an eye on. What does Vic Fangio do? How does he kind of counter that going up against those personnel groupings that you really don't see on a weekly basis in the NFL?
So the big matchup coaching wise that everyone will talk about and focus on, and rightly so, is Shanahan and Fangio. But the Saleh versus Petullo thing is an interesting one. We all know about all the inadequacies of the 49ers on defense. If you're thinking about scheming against them, like, what is it that you try to do? What is it that you try to attack specifically?
Yeah, I hate to sound like, you know, disrespectful, like it's easy, but honestly, you can kind of almost do anything against this defense. Now, they're NFL players. I get it. Any given Sunday, all those things. But just personnel-wise, I mean, you look at their linebackers, that's probably the one thing I would highlight. They are down to, like, practice squad linebackers who are going to be out there. Can you put those guys in conflict? Those could be RPOs. That could be a lot of play action where they're not sure and you're creating big holes in the middle of the defense. It could just be lining up and running the ball. You know, that could be something that works in this game. I know we've talked a lot this season about Jalen Hurts and saving for the playoffs and do you run him in the regular season? Well, now we're in the playoffs, and I think that's a button that you absolutely have to push. So you can do all those things on the outside at corner. They're not very strong there either. So this isn't a game where you have to, like, I don't think we're going to be on here next week saying, man, the Eagles schematic wrinkles offensively, and they found a formula. It's kind of like run the ball, take advantage of your talent advantage on the outside, create some explosive plays, use Jalen Hurts in the run game. There's a formula there where you should be able to move the football really well against them just because you're able to win a lot of one-on-one matchups.
Well, and now that we're in the playoffs, if there was any concern from an Eagles standpoint about running Jalen Hurts and him getting hurt, those sorts of things, I think that sort of has to go out the window now, right? I mean, I would say the few of the times where the offense looked the best, the first Dallas game, the Oakland game, or not Oakland, the Vegas game, the even the Commanders, not the, what was the second game? We played, when we won those two games, we played the Commanders, right? Because we played
Commanders,
them twice.
Yeah,
because we played them twice in 3 weeks. The first Commanders game was when Jalen was running. So you would expect that we will see, you know, maybe not 15 runs, but closer to that 7 to 10 range that we saw in those games, right?
Yeah, and it's those high leverage snaps, you know, 3rd and 4. Remember, there's been years past where 3rd and 4, they're lining up and empty, and all of a sudden they're running a quarterback designed run. It's the red zone. It's 3rd down. All those times. So it's just been part of what they've done and why their offense has been, you know, good at times in 21, 22, 23, and 24. And this is the first time, really, they've been like, no, we're not doing this in the regular season. But to your point, like, the reason for not doing it in the regular season is to keep Jalen Hurts healthy. And Jalen Hurts right now is as healthy as I think he's ever been going into the playoffs. So yeah, Now it's time to turn up the dial there and use it.
Before, that's a good point.
Yeah, it is, because he's been hurt at the end of every year.
Three straight years he's been hurt at the end of the year.
So before we get your prediction, I asked Brian Baldinger this question yesterday. We talked about it with Elliot on Tuesday as well. If you were starting a franchise tomorrow, and my question here is for Ringer NFL Show Shiel, not Philly Special Shiel, if you can separate. if this was a question on the Ringer NFL Show, you're starting a franchise tomorrow. You have a choice, a head coach quarterback combo you can take. One head coach quarterback combo is Purdy and Shanahan. The other one is Sirianni and Hurts. Which one would you take?
You know, I saw this clip on social media, Spike. I started preparing. I was like, okay, you know, team getting ready to game plan, because I thought, all right, this question is probably going to come my way on Thursday. And I want to be clear about the way you framed it. You didn't say for the Eagles right now, because for the Eagles right now, it's hard to go against Hurts and Sirianni. They almost never lose. They've been to the Super Bowl. If I were starting a franchise, I disagree with Baldy, and I actually do think it's hard. I know he was like Hurts, Sirianni. I would go with Shanahan and Purdy. If I were starting a franchise right now and I didn't know if I had Vic Fangio and I didn't know if I had Howie Roseman and I didn't know what kind of talent I had, because at the very least, I think those two have shown that they're going to have a good offense year in and year out, and the other stuff you have to hope you can figure out. If I'm going with just Sirianni and Hurts and I don't know who my defensive coordinator is or who my GM is, then I'm getting a little bit nervous about what I actually have. So I know that's not going to appease a lot of people, but I said to myself, you know what? I'm not going to pander to the audience. Let me answer this honestly if Spike throws it my way. So there you go.
I guess of houseofstrauss.com, Ethan Sherwood Strauss. Ethan, back in the day, would cover the Gold State Warriors for ESPN and then started his own Substack, which you can subscribe to there. You also get his podcast, which I've been on several times. So welcome to the show, Ethan.
I'm so happy to be here, guys. Thanks so much.
You know, Ethan, over the last couple of years, the fact that we are having you on to discuss the 49ers must be exciting to you, as football Ethan has really evolved over the last couple of years. That is a fact, right?
That is certainly a fact, and it's also a fact that people in this area tend to want to talk Warriors with me. A team right now I find depressing. I don't like to watch, but that's what I used to cover, and there's a lot of Warriors fandom. All I want to talk about is Niners. All I want to talk about is football. All anybody considers me an authority on, right or wrong, is the basketball team. So, yes, excited to be here for this topic.
Well, in the WIP Afternoon Show, you are a 49ers authority, Ethan. So you have made it. So would you say at this point, the 49ers, given the injury situation, is this playoffs in general sort of a house money situation for the 49ers, or is it something more?
It certainly feels that way. Anybody out here who knows a thing or two about the team is not going into this matchup with confidence. Everybody seems to be braced for the end of the season. And it's just such a contrast how the football team is dealt with out here versus where you guys are. If you guys lose, is Sirianni's job on the line? I don't know. He just won a Super Bowl, but it feels that pressurized. But the Niners, if you win enough games and we didn't expect you to, they're just going to throw a parade. Great season. And it does feel like a house money situation, in part because they had injuries, in part because they won so much, but also just because the culture doesn't demand as much and isn't as critical out here as it is out there.
Was there a point this season, at any point this season, that you said to yourself, the 49ers are really good? Was there like a stretch of time where you thought, okay, they have it this year?
Yeah, when they beat the Browns in that bad weather and it looked like if they did that, they were locked into the playoffs and there was a path. There was a sense of, oh, it's starting to happen. It's coming together. Shanahan teams do this thing in the good years where down the stretch of a season, they really coalesce as other teams fall off and they take that momentum into the playoffs. And so there was a sense it was building to something. This actually might unexpectedly be the year despite everything else. And then you had that Seahawks matchup where it almost felt as though they could steal a Super Bowl without being all that good because they are frauds. Let's be clear about it. The Niners are frauds, but this is a season where everybody's kind of a fraud. So if everybody's a fraud, then maybe nobody's a fraud. That's how it felt, where if they could get home field advantage, if they could get a bye week, it was plausible. And then that, of course, went all away last Saturday. And we're where we're at, where everybody is just braced for the gallows.
We mentioned that a little earlier this week about the residual effect of that loss last Saturday night just sort of being a damper or a cloud over the team. Does it feel like that with the team? I know what you're saying with the fan base, but I'm wondering from the players' perspective, what's sort of their messaging been like coming out this week? Do they feel like they have a chance to win this game?
They're saying all the right things, and they haven't lost back-to-back games this season. And so it's nice they're saying the right things. The problem is the personnel. We play up the injuries, but it's not just Nick Bosa and Fred Warner. They're pulling linebackers off the street, man, to actually play real snaps in this game. They are heavily depleted, and I'm still not sure who's literally showing up to this game. I don't have much faith in the offense if it's going to be like last week and there's no Trent Williams or Ricky Pearsall, and I've got no assurance whether those guys are going to be in this game. So as much as they've made chicken salad over chicken, we're on the radio, but you get my drift, there's a point at which it's too many injuries, and it's looking like it's at that point. If they don't have Trent, if they don't have Pearsall, I just can't see them producing enough points, but we'll see.
Yeah, you sort of answered that question there as far as the offense, because prior to the Seahawks game, they were, for a stretch of a few games there, looked like the best offense in the NFL, right? I mean, they were really clicking. Yeah. So I guess your answer there, sort of, the question was going to be, which offense is it? Is it what we saw Saturday, or is it what we saw the few games before? But I guess your conclusion would be, if Williams and Pearsall isn't there, it's maybe not 3 points, but it's more of the offense we saw Saturday.
Yeah, it's almost like they've got it on both sides. I'm trying to schematically explain it and prove my football bonfides will probably fail, but they're slow. I think it's underrated how slow they are. They've been an awesome offense when they have enough guys this season, but man, are they slow. Christian McCaffrey at this stage for his position is slow. Jennings, it's like a 50-50 ball, and it's impressive how he fights and he somehow snatches it a lot of the time, but he's slow, and if there's no Pearsall, he's their number one receiving threat. So if that guy's not there, it's almost more important than maybe some of the bigger names, like a Kittle being absent, if Pearsall's not there. And then Trent Williams, they have done such little work in bolstering the offensive line that they have a literal career practice squad guy replacing superstar legendary left tackle Trent Williams in Austin Pleasance. And so it's not just a drop-off from losing Trent Williams, it's also what's behind him is not somebody who's competent, with apologies to him. I'm sure he's trying hard. So those two right there might be more crucial than some of the other guys they've been missing, just given the lack of depth at those positions.
Talking to Ethan Sherwood Strauss from houseofstrauss.com. You can sign up for a Substack and his podcast there. Just to go over the defense for a moment, you know, it's funny when you watch it from here or nationally, there's a lot of credit given to Robert Saleh out of what he's gotten out of the defense considering the injuries. Then you look at the rank of the defense and they don't seem like they're just very good at all. So I guess my question is, do you think Saleh's doing a good job? And is there anything on that defense that, from an Eagles perspective, that we should be worried about?
Oh, my God. I'm going back to the chicken S analogy. It's a funny thing watching him get interviews, watching him get praised as the Niners went 12-5, because I feel as though he's getting credit for making chicken S out of chicken S. Like, I don't blame him for the defense being bad, considering the losses they've suffered. But the defense has also been bad, so I don't know what we're doing in crediting him. The reason they've won these games is largely because of the offense and the special teams, and that they've gotten lucky on special teams. There's this stat called hidden points that they chart at DVOA, and the Niners have a historic hidden points margin. That's you just get lucky because the other team misses field goals or they have terrible kickoffs. It's a bad depth of kickoff. They've got an additional 30 points off of this, whereas last year they were negative 13. So just dumb luck that fell from the sky. Special teams getting better, offense better. Defense has been horrible. I don't have much to tell you to worry about. I think the cornerbacks are good. I think Lenore and Renardo Green are good. But, God, they've got to cover a lot for a lot of time because, as I'm sure you guys know, they're last in sacks, last in pressures, and the linebackers are just totally depleted. It's not a good defense, and it's also not getting credited for being especially creative with the depleted personnel they have. So I just think they're holding on for dear life. It might have been better if this game was on a different day. And you got some of that Philly inclement weather, as crazy as that sounds for a West Coast team, just because the defense requires some assistance.
Well, you can tell you certainly aren't a homer.
No. Ethan's not a homer. When I'm talking to Ethan, I have to be, well, Christian McCaffrey's still pretty good. I mean,
yeah, I wanted to give some positive things to say about the Niners. I'm like, wow.
I'm not a homer. I'm a Brock Purdy apologist. That homer's going to come out.
Yeah, he is. Well, Ethan has Northeast in his blood, so he hates his team just like we all hate our teams.
Yeah.
Final question, Ethan. We have now I'll ask Brian Baldinger, we've asked Shio Kapadia, I will ask you as well. If you were starting a franchise tomorrow, you're the first thing that you can place in that franchise is a quarterback head coach combo. And the quarterback head coach combo is Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy, or Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts. Which one would you pick?
I go Kyle Shanahan, Brock Purdy. It's not something I hesitate on. And I say it with trepidation because I'm not sure this upcoming game is going to be the best advertisement for my decision. But yes, that's the decision I make.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, all right, Ethan. Well, thanks as always. Congratulations on your first 49ers radio appearance.
Oh, yeah.
I would say.
Yeah,
there it is. You did a great job.
Hopefully, reverse jinx them.
I figured that's where you were kind of going for.
Yeah,
there.
They're horrible. They'll never win. And then I'll get a text from him at halftime on Sunday. All right, Ethan. Thank you as always.
All right, buddy. Take care, man.
Thanks, guys.
There he is, Ethan Sherwood Strauss. You can sign up for Substack, houseofstrauss.com, the podcast as well.
Mom, I like to propose a dinner optimization plan for 2026. Soccer practice every week. Get back late and you're stressed out about making something fast but actually nutritious for dinner. When Ashley's mom picked me up, I noticed that she made Blue Apron. It came in like a little kit. By the time it was ready, I still had shin guards on. And it was real food, fresh veggies, protein, actual flavor. Take her from the younger generation. We're innovators, keeping a couple Blue Apron meals around. Not the worst idea.
Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands, or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free.
If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Let's talk to Coach Dick Vermeil. He certainly coached in some playoff games for the Eagles, both at home and on the road. He knows what it's like for sure. And Dick, of course, is always brought to us by Independence Blue Cross, the region's strongest network of doctors and hospitals. Means you can choose where, when, and how you get the care you need. Independence Blue Cross. Learn more at IBX.com. The legendary coach, Coach Dick Vermeil. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning.
So, Dick, we are really getting fired up here. Now, we got to save a little bit in the holster because we still got two more days. But as you look toward this game, and we'll get your prediction at the end, but what encourages you that the Eagles will get this done?
Well, I think we match up real well. Our defense matches up extremely well against their offense. And as good as their offense is, our defense, statistically, even when you take just the 14 playoff teams and compare them and match them up, we match up very well on defense. Of course, we've got to keep playing like we're playing, and we have to prevent the 49ers from playing better than they have been playing. But if you just took the numbers, that's even. What we have to do is be a little better on offense. 49ers defense is not great. They're last in the league in putting pressure on the quarterback. So we should be able to throw the ball efficiently. But I think it's just a real even matchup where our strengths match against their strengths, and their so-called weakness on defense isn't as weak as people give it credit for or poor credit for. But due to the injuries, they aren't as good as they expected to be or are now. But they're still adequate. They're still adequate. And I think our offense is stronger than their defense. And with potential to be much stronger.
Okay. So, Coach, we know that the big matchup here is the Shanahan offense, the Fangio defense. Schematically, who has the advantage there?
Well, I think we do. I think, you know, the 49ers are going to run the ball even when they don't make yards. They'll keep running. They run the ball 29 times a ball game regardless. But when you take what they do, rushes and pass completions, they're number one in the league. Because those are the only two ways you move the ball, run the ball and throw a completed pass. They average 53 snaps a game in which they move the ball. Our defense is very good at preventing. Our defense is the best pass defense in football. Yeah. You can move the ball, you can't score. Yeah, they just do it. Now, we're number one ranked in a variations of stats that people don't normally look at. You know, percent complete, they only allow 56%. Percent complete, including sacks, 52%. Opponents' TDs per pass attempt, 2.3, number one in the league. You know, they do a real good job. So I think it's going to be the kind of game where, of course, we have the emotional edge playing at home. Yeah. Home crowd is going to help us. I think we're physically a better team on offense than they are on defense. And it's going to come down to the next theory all year. Don't turn the ball over and don't get two or three bad calls from the officials.
How do we best take advantage of their banged up, ultra banged up linebacking core with their top three backers out for this game?
I say this, just keep doing what you do real well. We know we can run the ball. We know we can run the ball better than we have been running the ball. We're going into the game, I think, a little healthier in the offensive line. We know our backfield is healthy. I think Nick and staff, Petula will do a good job of putting a blended run-pass ratio into the ball game, and I think that's what's going to win the football game for us because the defense will keep it close enough to win.
You talk about that run-pass ratio. What about the run-pass option, something that we've sort of, I don't know, veered away from this season a little bit more than I thought? Do you expect to see a return to more RPOs by the Eagles offense?
I don't. Very seldom do you change your profile of what you've been doing once you get in the playoffs. Sometimes you do and you make a mistake doing it. Now, you might run a few things you haven't run the last few weeks. because you've been watching the 49ers play all 17 games, okay, and you've watched them against when you've played them in the past. So there'll be some things that we do that maybe we haven't done in the last 4 or 5 weeks or haven't done all year, but we'll do because of the game planning.
So, Dick, let's talk about that. That's interesting. You mentioned profile, regular season profile, playoff profile. So if you're the head coach of the Eagles and Saquon Barkley, when healthy, which he's been the whole time, gets 20 carries and Tank Bigsby gets 3, but Tank Bigsby's been better in many instances this year. Entering the playoffs, would you say I'm changing that ratio? Even though Saquon is Saquon, it's not going to be 20-3. It's going to be, you know, 16-8 or whatever it would be. I mean, would you give the ball to Bigsby more even though Saquon's a much, much bigger star?
No. How's that for an answer?
Yeah.
Give the ball to Barkley. We know what he is capable of. And the only reason you would get him fewer reps would be if he ended up getting a little tired, which he won't. He has great stamina.
Well, how do you explain, Coach, how do you explain Bigsby looking better? I mean, to our eyes, on individual runs. Fresh legs is part of it, but that could be, to me, he's looked better when he runs. I think he breaks more tackles and looks more elusive. I'd give the guy the ball
fresh
more.
Fresh legs.
Yeah, you might be reflecting back to the last game when he broke a couple little runs down, wiggled outside and all that kind of. Listen, he's a fine running back. He is not Barkley, okay? He is not Barkley.
Yeah. I agree. So, Coach, what is your honest evaluation of the job Kevin Petullo has done as a play caller?
You know, everybody's mad at him. I just think we have to say this. The schedule was totally different than it was last year, okay? Mm-hmm. The offensive line stability through the season was totally different than it was last year.
True.
And I think every team that faced us this year faced a Super Bowl-winning team. That was just maybe one of the finest football teams that ever played in the league to win a Super Bowl. And so I think that was all a real tough act to follow in handling that. And I think you grow in that position and calling the plays and putting the game plan together and deciding what you do. But remember, we have the same line coach. You know, we put our line coach is a Hall of Fame line coach, right? He hasn't lost his ability to coach.
Yeah.
So, and he's involved in the game plans and running and everything. I just think it just was just tougher than hell for him. And I second guess some of the decisions they make during the ball game. But hell, I second guess my wife. Okay. I'm not critical of him because I've been there and done it, and I know how tough it is. Especially today.
Yeah. Is it a good thing for the Eagles or a bad thing for the Eagles that the 49ers offense was just held to 3 points by the Seahawks last Saturday night? You know, when I say a bad thing, is it going to come back and bite them because the 49ers are going to work that much harder to prevent that from happening again? Or is it just the fact that their offense can be gotten to by a good defense?
I think their offense can be gotten to, as you said, by a great defense, and our defense is a very fine defense, very fine defense, as is the Seahawks. I haven't seen the Seahawks much this year, so I don't have a strong opinion on them. That game last week changed my opinion of them, believe me. They've done a wonderful job both offensively and defensively. Hell, they take a quarterback, but nobody wanted. And he's done a wonderful job. So it's a combination of great coaching and getting the most, and a good offseason acquisitions, a good draft, all those kinds. And then regaining momentum, and confidence through the entire team. But I, the 49ers are a fine, fine football team. They're not as good as they would be if they hadn't lost players. Our offensive line is not as good as it would have been if it had been healthy all year.
Yeah.
So all those factors enter into it.
So, Coach, I'm sorry, go ahead.
We're a better football team there, okay? As we play Sunday, we are a better football team than the 49ers.
Well, it sounds like with your prediction, let's crank that prediction up. It sounds like the prediction is going to be an Eagles win. Coach Ramil's official prediction.
The computer says Philadelphia win by 6. Okay.
Holy cow.
And the computer picking the winner has been 70% complete all year.
Nice.
Not the point spread and all that kind of stuff. But it's pretty accurate. And as I look at the variations of stats and how they match up, see, now 49ers are fine football team, just like the Eagles. I think we're a better football team, especially playing at home and being healthier than we have been.
And, Coach, one more here, because there's a game on Saturday that's got big implications for the Eagles, because the Birds can host at home in the second round if the Bears lose. Saturday, Packers at Bears. Who wins that one?
I think the Bears win. The computer says by 1.5, so it's tight. But I just think Chicago's on a roll. When a team does something like they've done for the first time, and you're going into the playoffs for the first time, the emotional charge a team has going into that collectively, offensively, defensively, special team, that's hard to overcome. I think the Bears will beat them.
And it's it helps when you have the most efficient running game in the NFL like the Bears do.
Yeah, which we saw here in Philly when they clobbered the Eagles with them. Hey, Coach, one more if I could sneak it in. I'm just curious. Fans get more nervous when it's the playoffs, clearly.
Right.
Does a head coach during the game, and I know you got to be dialed in and focused, but when it's the third and fourth quarter and the game hangs in the balance, do you feel more nerves than a regular season game?
You know, I think once you're into it, you don't recognize the difference. You can't all of a sudden say in the third quarter, you know, this is different than 2 weeks ago. We're playing a playoff game. I think mentally, and you can talk to Nick about it. Another, I've been in a lot of playoff games, and I think once you're into them, you forget what it is. You know, it's the game you're playing today, and you don't rank it a playoff game or the 15th game of the season. It's a football game, and your mind is it, and you don't think about toward the end, you think about the ramifications of losing. Okay.
Yeah.
But,
it just feels like a game against an awesome team.
Yeah.
Really highly competitive game.
Well, I can certainly say fans experience it differently. I mean, that's a given.
Oh, no question. Yeah. The fan interest, the media interest today in football is amazing. And all created, you know, created by a great league, a great product, and great players doing more spectacular things today on the field than we ever saw when I was coaching. Okay.
Yeah.
There isn't a receiver that can't make a 100 catch anymore.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's amazing all the different things that happen. And the offenses, for the most part, are a little more wide open. Now, the 49ers play a lot of constricted formations where they're not spread all over the field. But that presents a lot of problems for the defense, too, because now there's more field on each side of the formation, okay? And it's easier to go from one side of the field to the other side from that formation. So they do a great job of game planning. They will move the ball some, but I don't think they'll score enough points to beat our defense.
Yeah, there's a reason why there's quarterbacks that perform well in the playoffs and guys that routinely do well in two-minute drills and things like that. And I think, you know, again, you know, I love Jalen Hurts, and I think that's one of his really good attributes. I think a lot of people get frustrated sometimes with the lack of emotion and the lack of, like, kind of, you know, I guess, boisterousness when things are not going well. But, I mean, I think that this is one of the things that you get on the other side of that. When you're in pivotal moments, it never gets too high for him. He is always so composed in those situations.
Yeah.
And he has ability to think very clearly and make good decisions. And he's, you know, routinely operated really well in you know, meaningful moments of games.
How calming is that in the huddle?
It is. It's very calming. And I think it brings everybody else's temperature down too.
Right.
Right? There's nothing worse than going into a huddle and, like, you can hear anxiety in a freaking signal caller's voice. That's not good, right? And you don't sense that with this guy ever, especially in these kind of moments. Like, he lives for kind of this kind of stuff.
Jalen and Purdy on Sunday. It's a really, really intriguing matchup. By the way, I think the quarterback ranking stuff that, of course, is a dominant topic in the offseason, it's going to be fascinating in part based on these playoffs, because I think there's a lot of guys that will shuffle up or down based on these playoffs. I mean, I'm talking about Hurts, who's generally been up, but, you know, if they flop, that'll hurt him.
Purdy. Lawrence.
Herbert. Like, I feel like a lot of these guys are kind of clumped together. Now, James, you might disagree with that, because I know you got
all
love for
Jalen. I think they're all, like, I have Jalen above them, but I think it's, like, pretty close between all these guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's intriguing from that standpoint.
These are the guys who are showing that they can get it done, and you've got some young guys who are really proving themselves, like the kid from New England.
Yeah, for
you
sure.
You know, you don't get this far without being worth some salt.
And Caleb Williams is another example. I mean, I don't think he's their main reason.
Unbelievable
but
coaching really helps.
I mean, it feels
cause,
like they finally
his skill set is unique. He can do everything you'd want your quarterback to do in terms of make all the throws, but then he also has the wheels to burn you.
Yeah, no,
if he wants to.
He's impressive. By the way, Twitter poll question of the day brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. What's the Armin difference? It's simple. It's their people, well-trained, friendly, and caring. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. By the
way, Drake May is going to be a monster.
Yeah, I got to watch that guy play more.
Monster.
I'm looking forward to that. Speaking of Armin Chevy, tremendous lunch yesterday with Todd. Absolutely amazing guy, and it was wonderful getting to know Armin Chevy and their whole awesome stuff. Poll questions: who wins Sunday, Eagles or Niners? Second poll question: who would you rather have on Sunday? All right, let's really do it. Let's keep it real. Let's keep it real. Who would you rather have on Sunday? It doesn't represent the past, doesn't represent next year. It represents Sunday. Would you rather have Saquon or Christian McCaffrey, John Ritchie?
Do I have their offensive line performance coupled with that?
Well, it is interesting. Elliott made a good point earlier. It's like if you have Purdy, who gets the third, fourth, and fifth receivers better, you'd probably rather have McCaffrey. And if you have Hurts, who specializes in handing the ball off, you'd probably rather have Saquon.
And watch it.
Is that a shot, James? Is that?
Yes.
I love Saquon. I don't think his skills are diminished at all. I think if his O-line did a better job this year, he'd be right back where he was last year in terms of production. But you can't argue with, my gosh, the receiving yards. McCaffrey's got twice the receiving yards in his career. And he's got, 100 and whatever he's got this year.
Well, he's got a better shot at the Hall of Fame. You know, the Giants' years are going to hurt Saquon's Hall of Fame candidacy. James, independent of who the quarterback is, because it actually does play a part of these two, but independent of that, who do you think is a better football player, James?
I think Christian McCaffrey's a better football player, but I will say, I do think, and someone brought this up earlier, I do think there's an argument that Saquon is way more rested and in
that
better
me,
shape.
Yeah.
That was you, Rhea. I thought that's a great point because, like, I've watched the last few Niners games and, like, McCaffrey was great against the Bears, but he's had so many touches this year and he looks tired. Like, he'll be great on Sunday. I'd rather McCaffrey. I'm just saying, I do think it's interesting the idea that I do think Saquon is fresher and healthier than McCaffrey.
And I'll give
matters.
You those numbers. It's interesting you put that out. First 10 games, McCaffrey, this is as a pass catcher, 69 catches for 692 yards. He was insane. Last seven, 33 for 232. And they've been running him a lot, too. They were running out of players, so I think they had to rely on him. Yeah. And I think they may have worn him down a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, back to the Carolina years. He was always leaned on.
It's unreal.
He's all Carolina had.
Yeah,
These two are one game apart in terms of games started in their career. 106 games for Saquon, 105 games for Christian McCaffrey. Saquon has a lot more rushing attempts, about 170 more rushing attempts for his career, so he does have more yards. But they both average 4.6 per attempt. Christian McCaffrey has 7 more rushing touchdowns than Saquon does, and you know that number would be different if Jalen weren't tush-pushing his way to all those.
By the way, that's another interesting aspect for this game. Is the tush-push on the table as something the Eagles lean on?
They haven't recently.
Or move away from. I mean, we really don't know when listen, if it's fourth and an inch, it's probably a tush push. But if it's fourth and a full yard?
Probably not.
That'll be
really
important to see.
Christian McCaffrey has twice the receiving yardage.
Well, he's one of the great
more
yards per reception. Yeah. He's got 36 receiving touchdowns to 16 for Saquon. Yeah. That's really where the big difference is.
All right, let's go to Drew.
That's why I'd take Christian, but I love Saquon.
As we broadcast from Borgata today, getting closer to kickoff on Sunday, Drew in Westchester right now. Good morning, Drew.
Good morning, folks. Good morning, folks. I'm saying it twice because the goal over the next month is to repeat.
I like that. I see what you did.
I'm ready, man. Let's go. Let me give you one reason why I'm really optimistic. The ability of this team to win close games. Over the Niners' last 12 games, only one of them has been a one possession game. I think during their little winning streak, they got super into beating up on bad teams, blowing them out. They're not going to be able to do that on Sunday. And you can call me naive, but I just trust this Eagles team in a close game, and it's probably going to be a close game to do what they need to do to win the game. And there's things that make me nervous. I can touch on a negative, but I fully expect that we are going to be playing football next week. And
game where they beat up the Bears for 42 points?
Well, that was the one exception, Richie, and that was two weeks ago. So that's the one outlier in the stat, and that's obviously a fair point. But I think
they came close to losing it. Like, Caleb Williams had a real shot at the end to put it in the end zone. Like, it was a close ending.
And some of what that tells me is that we have a chance, that our offense has a chance to put up points. You get me to 24 on Sunday, I feel really good.
Look, I watched that game, and I do think it proves that our offense has a chance to score points on this defense, because the Bears also, they ran up and down the field. It was 42-38 when it was all said and done. I just, watching that level of potency and that level of design, it really leaves me wanting about our own offensive scheme, though. That's the thing. Watching that game, that was the contrast. Watching both of those offenses and then thinking about the way we run things, it just feels so stagnant comparatively.
I could also say with confidence, Richie, like, they are not coming close to 40 on Vic Fangio and this defense. Like, there's just no shot that happens.
I agree with that. Drew, give me a big-time answer, my man, for someone or something through the years that's been a wild card.
You got it. He's my guy. I love him. Nick Sirianni's sideline emotions are a wild card. You don't know if you're going to get going in, or if he's just going to be going off on something.
It's a very good answer.
I like that.
He has certainly varied. It's one of those things where I think he tries to rein it in, and then there's times he just can't.
He just can't help himself.
Just cannot.
And I respect that.
So you think that's a good thing, that he can't help himself?
Well, I think it's what it is. I mean, independent of whether it's good or bad, I think it's a good answer, because that's what it is.
There are plenty of great coaches who can't control themselves on the sidelines.
Yeah.
I also think, though, James, I think you made the point this week. Like, I know it can be frustrating for us as fans sometimes, but if that's who he is,
yeah,
you know, it's not good for someone to necessarily be all restrained at times.
You want to be authentic.
I'll say this. Let's take Draymond Green as an example. Now, I get really frustrated as a sports fan that he gets so aggravated out there.
He loses his mind.
Yes, but here's the but. That edge that he plays on and goes over at times, I think, is part of what has made him a great player.
100%.
Great career.
Rasheed Wallace probably has a Hall of Fame career.
Yeah, I mean, think of it this way. If Jahlil Okafor got here, there was no edge.
No.
You know, like when Mick's talking to Rock about you got to snarl when you punch, and, you know, and in Rocky III when Apollo's saying you got to have the eye of the tiger, it's saying don't be – you're not a mouse in the corner.
Did you ever see Coach K on the sidelines?
Yes.
I mean, there's a great coach. Lunatic at times.
Listen, Jay.
Bobby Knight.
Well, let me tell you something. Jay was – I mean, I thought he was very good at doing it when, like, maybe the
– cameras were on a little more.
No, I actually thought the opposite. I thought he would work the rest when he sensed the camera was not on him. I mean, who knows? Yeah. You're on the sideline. You don't quite know when the camera's on you. But, like, Jay Wright would work a ref.
Oh, yeah.
And the other thing, too, is we've heard players come out and say that they like that from Nick, that they want Nick to be himself. Yeah. So, like, who are we to say, like, don't do that if the players enjoy it?
Yeah, now I will say this, though. Something that really annoyed me with year one Nick, and every once in a while it surfaces, when he complains to the ref about an Eagles pick play that's clearly a pick play, and he acts like they didn't commit a penalty. And it's like, dude.
They were committing it all the time one season.
It was 2021. Teaching it wrong.
It was 2021, and he kept saying it wasn't a penalty. It's like, Nick.
Yeah, it is.
That's a penalty. All right, let's go to the phones, talk to Lisa right now in Summerdale. Good morning, Lisa.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, Lisa.
So I have a great story for you.
Let's hear it.
So I went to Antarctica over Christmas break.
Wow. Oh, wow.
And, no way.
How long did it take to get there? I went from Philly to Miami, Miami to Buenos Aires, Buenos Aires to Ushuaia, which is the southernmost tip of the earth, got on the National Geographic Endurance ship.
Wow.
Was on the ship for 10 days.
This is awesome.
And I wore Eagles every single day on the ship.
Great
work, Lisa.
Love it.
I went with Michael, my fiance. We are season ticket holders. We took the Super Bowl banner from Minnesota, and we stood on the ice and took a picture.
That's amazing.
I also yelled "Go Birds" before I jumped in 30-degree polar plunge water.
No!
Oh my gosh!
That had to be really tough to stay in there. So what a wonderful experience that must have been. How cold was the coldest temperature you experienced?
Actually, it's summer there. It's 24/7 daylight.
That must have been weird.
And when you guys had your snowstorm and your ice storm here, it was actually colder here than it was there.
Wow. Whoa. Well, Lisa,
so there's snow on the ground still, and it's pretty warm?
Icebergs.
Permafrost,
it's like
right?
Icebergs. Yeah. Icebergs. We would wake up at 1:30 in the morning and look out on our deck, and we'd see... It was like an iceberg cemetery. It was the most amazing thing.
Well, Lisa, here's what I'm thinking. Since we know Neil Armstrong did not take any Eagles anything to the moon, I think we can say that Lisa in Somerdale has represented the Eagles, our beloved Philadelphia Eagles, in the most unique place in the universe.
Absolutely.
And we applaud you for that.
You rule, Lisa.
Thank you very much. What?
I said you rule.
All right, Lisa, give me who or what's a wild card. What do you got here? Let's get your Flyers tickets.
Han Solo.
Han Solo was
He definitely was a wild card, sure.
Yeah, you didn't quite know. You know, he was a rascal.
He would shoot first, as they say.
He would shoot first. That's exactly right. Seth the media. Seth, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm taking Drew's advice. Repeat.
All right, you got to tell me, Seth, is the name Billy two times?
You talking about from Goodfellas?
No. It was.
It was Jimmy
yeah.
two times. Oh. I thought it was Jimmy two times.
Jimmy
I could be wrong.
Yeah, it wasn't Billy.
Get the papers.
So what is it, Seth? Is it Jimmy two times?
I thought it was Jimmy two times.
Yeah, I think you're right. I believe that's correct.
Yeah, I think it's Jimmy. I'm looking it up.
By the way,
it's Jimmy two times.
He's the man walking in there with Lorraine Bracco as everyone's, you know, saying hi to him, and the maitre d's getting a table ready for him up front. That's
very cool.
That's being a baller.
Well, you're talking about the back of the Cova Cabana.
All right, Seth, what do you got in our birds?
The word for today, ladies and gentlemen, is violence with a capital V. Let's freaking go.
That's Jalen Carter. Let's remember the last time Jalen Carter played in a playoff game for the Eagles. He basically had a Mike Tyson roundhand right to the face of the opposing quarterback.
And they didn't call it.
It was unbelievable.
If you're the opponent, you're very upset about it. I found it highly.
I got to say, of all the players through the years in Philly sports, Jalen Carter is what I'd call one of the more violent Philadelphia sports players.
I think Seth would have loved to have played with him.
I agree.
Could you imagine him in the House of Pain game? Holy smokes.
Unbelievable. You know, I'm actually surprised, quite honestly, when that happened in the Super Bowl. I was looking for a flag for hands to the face.
So was I.
It didn't even matter because the game was over, but it was just gratifying.
Did he even get fined for it?
Talk about icing on the cake.
I don't know. I mean, it was incredible.
Worth every penny. I would have paid that fine. You kidding
me? I'll say this as we move off him. I'm looking forward to watching Jalen Phillips.
First
playoff game, right?
Yeah.
He's played in one
with Miami, I believe.
Yeah, okay. Got it.
I mean,
might have been
listen,
that freezing cold one in Kansas City.
Prop.
Oh,
I thought that was Buffalo. Was that KC?
Remember
that
they played
game was
the,
in Kansas
yeah,
City.
In Can, it was it. It was in KC, Miami and yeah. KC.
Got it.
I feel like for what it's worth, when we picked him up, he seems to be like one of those guys that like I've referenced the 08 Phils a lot, but like the Jason Worth, like a guy that just like. He definitely gave us a shot of energy.
Oh, he's excellent.
Carter
he's a good player. There's no doubt.
Yeah, almost like a rebirth, like the same way Zegras has had with the Flyers this
year.
He showed up here and just he started wrecking house immediately his first game.
Yeah, well, the first two games were his two best, I think. Seth, give me a great answer for who or what's been a wild card.
The Philadelphia Eagles fans.
Just because of the up and down thing?
Or being
wild. No,
being
I'm curious. Are you saying because?
Wild.
Okay.
I
all
like
right.
That.
Well, so he's going more wild than wild card. I thought like he was saying the swing of emotions.
I think we're pretty consistent in the wildness, which makes us less of a wild card. You can count on consistent, boisterous,
well, that's the thing.
Over the top,
yeah,
crazy support.
Are we judging wild or X factor wild card? Like, you don't know, James. Which is it? Is it you don't know what you're going to get?
I came in with the X factor thing. Like, I think a wild card is you have no idea what you're going to get from them more than being wild. I think.
So, who would be a wild card in Philly sports?
Currently?
Yeah, current or recent.
Well, I mean, Nails was a wild card back in the day.
Yeah, C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
C.J.'s great.
Currently?
Joel. Is he going to be amazing or horrendous?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. He's a wild card.
By the way, he's, like, picking up a bit. You know?
Live striking. And Joel's a wild card, too, and, like, the mood. I think he's done a lot better recently with the, like, body language and just looking kind of mopey out there, but you never know what version of
Joel you're going to get. I mean, Nick Castellanos was a wild card.
Well, you know,
card.
I'll say this. Yes, well, he was. Devin, maybe he believes in himself more now.
Yeah.
Because, like, it felt like early in the year he couldn't answer the bell, and that probably bummed him out.
Yeah.
And maybe he's got more pep he feels more physically capable.
I feel like this team in particular, with the addition of VJ Edgecombe and Tyrese Maxey playing the way he, like, it just feels a lot more cohesive than it has in past seasons.
Well, there's also less burden on Joel.
And there's less, he's carrying a lot less weight, like, literally.
It will be fascinating if they make the playoffs, and they probably will. Like, what can he do when it's, you know, a game almost every other day and you need him?
Mm.
Like, you know, I mean, eventually you're going to get to the point where if he doesn't play exceptional, you're going to lose because you can't beat the truly great teams, which is Edgecombe and Maxey. So, well, it'll be, you know, he probably won't be able to answer the bell consistently, but I think the last couple weeks have been encouraging.
The best of interviews on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.